today on Real Radio.
The watch or the timer, it's counting. Notice, it's counting down towards something, or time is moving on. And according to the Bible, it's moving on a line. And at some point in time, time will be no more. It's going to end. Things are counting down.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, continues in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was God's prophet in ancient Judah between 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah also has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, and Isaiah's prophecies go far beyond into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapters 22 and 23, we learn how God takes national worship very seriously. When God's word is neglected and we rely on other nations for help, the power of the Holy Spirit is avoided and the sin of unbelief spreads. That's why God removes his protection from us when he really wants to restore and heal us. Now in Isaiah chapter 24, Isaiah is given a series of visions by God that go beyond Israel and Judah's judgment and into the coming of the last days. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that chapter 24 is kind of like reading from the book of Revelation. All things are moving towards an end before the new birth can begin, not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles as well. And now in his lesson called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let's grab our Bibles tonight in Isaiah chapter 24, and we're looking at a message this evening, and I'm excited because in chapter 24, you're going to be recognizing so many New Testament doctrines in the Bible regarding the end times. In Isaiah chapter 24, Isaiah now is given a series of visions by God that takes him out and beyond the time of Israel, the time of Judah in his day, and beyond the near judgments of the nation and the nations around them, to the last days, to the days that the Jews call the end of days. Isaiah now, chapter 24, commences this series of visions that takes us into the tribulation period. And so for your own note-taking, and I highly advise this, that you write in the margins of your Bible. You can write in your Bible. It doesn't defame it. Your Bible should actually look like a diary. You should mark it all up. You should be writing in it and putting dates in there and stuff like that and cross-reference. And then when you get your Bible all marked up, you put a rubber band around that Bible, you put it on the shelf and you get a new Bible and you start again. And tonight is one of those nights where you're going to, I think, be reminded of some things. As we look at this, I encourage some of you guys on Facebook this morning that to prepare for tonight, it would be good to read Revelation chapters 6 through 19. Chapters 6 through 19. Isaiah chapter 24 is a long view of Revelation 6 out to Revelation 19. Revelation 6, Revelation 19 is a close-up. It would be a microscope close-up where Isaiah 24 is the telescope view. But he'll get pretty specific, there's no doubt about it. And so as we get into this, I'm going to ask you to do something just to drive home a point kind of graphically. Take a look at your watch, or how do you keep time? Do you use a phone? What do you use right now? Take a look at it. Do you see the hand ticking or the motion on your device counting time? Why is that happening? You're looking at a physical device, okay? And it's a physical device, and it's moving based upon physics. Listen, based upon the fact that time is a material scenario. Did you know that? Time, you cannot have time where there's no material existence. Wherever something is material, you have time. And you already know that, actually. Where eternity is, there is no material like we know. There's timelessness. Things are eternal. So why do you point it out like that? Because notice that your clock, the watch or the timer, it's counting, notice, it's counting down towards something, or time is moving on, and according to the Bible, it's moving on a line, and at some point in time, time will be no more. It's going to end. Things are counting down. You say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not. It's scientific. Everything in science goes from an ordered state to a chaotic state. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy, everything goes from that which is ordered to disordered. As soon as you buy a new car, it starts to come apart. As soon as you come into a being, your life begins its path of death. Sounds pretty depressing, but it's not if you know the Lord. There's a reason why this is going on. Isaiah is looking at, from his day, 3,000 years out, as it were, ahead to the end. The title of the message tonight is When the End is Just the Beginning. If you're a Christian tonight, the end is just the beginning. We must stop thinking that this life is all that we have or a great part of what we have, and then when it's over, we're in some sort of twilight existence. Absolutely the reverse. You and I are in some way in a twilight existence now, and when we die, we enter into eternity, and that's when we really live, according to the Bible. That's when things really get going. Remember that. For us, the end is just the beginning. So as we look at this study tonight, again, get your highlighter and your pen ready to identify things that you're well aware of in the New Testament. Point number one in our study, when the end is just the beginning, is found in verses 1-3, and that is the Great Tribulation. That's what we're going to be looking at in this chapter, the Great Tribulation period. Jesus refers to that. The Great Tribulation and why. Why does the Great Tribulation period and why does Isaiah 24 speak about it? Number one, let's look at it. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. There's a destruction coming. There's a devastation coming. Distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. By the way, the word distort in the New King James Version Bible, some of you have different versions. It doesn't matter. The meaning of the word in the original language means this, to flip or to turn over. It's the picture of a blade pulling through the soil and turning over the soil. The blade is designed in such a way that when the blade goes through the soil, it flips it completely over. The Bible here is announcing that God is going to intervene in humanity and he's going to flip things over. Now, question is that a metaphor? Is it typological? Is it literal? Well, I don't know. We'll see. But he does say this. He is going to do this to the surface and it scatters the inhabitants. So God is coming, he says, in the future, and he's going to turn things upside down. And it's going to affect the inhabitants. So listen, don't answer out loud because I don't want you to be wrong and then you'll be embarrassed. You have to ask yourself this question tonight. Are you an inhabitant of this earth? Don't answer out loud. Because at a time, at a point, the clock is going to strike and God is going to intervene in the affairs of man and he's going to put a plow into the earth, as it were, and he's going to flip things over. And who does it affect? The inhabitants. Mark this as we go. And it shall be, as with people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so as the debtor. What's he talking about? Here's what it means. No one is gonna escape. You can't get out of what's coming when that day arrives to the inhabitants. Whoever the inhabitants are, their status, their position, their place will not help them. There'll be no place to go. Those of you who know your Bibles, you're already starting to think in the book of Revelation and in Matthew 24 and Luke chapter 21 and Mark chapter 13, when God begins to shake the earth, There'll be no place for people to hide. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the inhabitants of the earth will look up and they'll see the heavens shaking and the earth trembling, and they will say to the rocks and to the hills, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. The Lord's coming. Wow. Think of it. Verse 3, the land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. That means it's going to happen. So God is giving Isaiah a revelation of the future events that have not yet happened. And we're going to know this for a fact as we can continue on in our study tonight. Whatever we're looking at hasn't happened yet. So listen to this. Isaiah, remember, is the one who gave us so many prophecies concerning the Messiah. He is affectionately referred to as the evangelical prophet of the Hebrew prophets. He's the one that spoke more about the Messiah to come than any other prophet. So let me remind you a little bit about that, because he's also now the one telling us of what's going to happen during this famous, infamous 7-year tribulation period. I want to remind you, it was Isaiah who foretold of the physical birth of the Messiah, Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. It was Isaiah who told us who the Messiah, or that the Messiah would be born. That is, that he would come from heaven and be born on earth. That's a radical statement. He wouldn't be an earthly Messiah. He would be a heaven-sent Messiah. Isaiah was the one that foretold the earthly ministry of the Messiah, what he would do, how he would do it, what he would say, the places of ministry that he would be involved in by name. It was Isaiah that foretold that the Messiah would be rejected by the nation Israel. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say Canada. He didn't say America. He didn't say any other nation. He said Israel. That the Messiah would come to Israel and Israel's leadership would reject the Messiah at his first coming. It was Isaiah who foretold that the Messiah would suffer and be sacrificed for the sins of the nation and the world. Isaiah chapter 53. Amazing. You guys should be oohing and aahing. I thought you'd be passing out by this point. This is amazing. Isaiah was the one that foretold of the resurrection of Christ, that he would live again. Isaiah foretold that the Messiah would return to earth. It was Isaiah who foretold that he would judge and bring judgment and justice to the earth. It was Isaiah who prophesied that he would see the Messiah set up upon the throne of David. It was Isaiah who foretold that the Messiah's kingdom would be headquartered in Jerusalem. It was Isaiah the prophet who said that the Messiah would rule for 1,000 years. It's Isaiah who said that the Messiah would dissolve eventually all things physical. That clock or that timepiece and time itself, that time would be dissolved in him. That there's going to come a day when he determines time ends. It's over. Eternity begins. The Bible refers to that day as the day of God. No more physical time, no more physical universe. Think of that. It was Isaiah who foretold that the Messiah would be the Messiah of both his people Israel and the Gentiles who would believe. The great tribulation period, and why? Because the tribulation period is a time that is dedicated to the nation of Israel, where God, in his judgment, judges the nation, and after the chastisement of the nation, the world is brought into a time of deception brought on by the Antichrist. Israel recognizes that, the Bible says, 3.5 years into the 7-year period of time, and Israel will then be awakened to who her true Messiah is. That's, by the way, you meet many Jewish people today, and they absolutely disdain Jesus. There'll be a day when the veil is lifted from their eyes, the Bible tells us. And that day is right in the middle of the tribulation period. They'll see, they'll understand. But listen to this. As we move further on into the end time scenario, from even the time that you and I are in right now, think about the year that we live in, the things that we're seeing in the world. Well, this is nothing yet. You look at what's coming. The Bible makes it very clear, and Isaiah speaks. He's announcing that. And as he talks about the world being torn up and the world being brought to this place of devastation, how's that going to happen? Well, for one thing, mark it down in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Listen to this. There'll definitely be an increase as we approach the last days or get deeper and deeper into the last days. There's going to be an increase in demonic and satanic activity. And you got to stop and ask yourself, what is that going to look like? Think about it. Revelation 12, verse 7. John says in Revelation 12, he sees the invisible world, the world where there's no time. John in his vision, like Isaiah, sees the future. And John says in verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael, you ought to circle the word Michael, the name Michael. Michael is the only archangel that I can find in the Bible that is named. He's the only archangel I think there is. The Bible says Lucifer is a cherub or cherubim. There are other cherubim mentioned. Gabriel's an angel, but we don't ever hear of Gabriel being an archangel. But we know Gabriel's very important. But Michael is the, if Lucifer's got a contemporary or an equal in battle, it would be Michael. Don't ever think that Jesus and Satan duke it out in the heavens. There's no comparison. Lucifer, Satan, and Michael might be co-equals, but even then I have my doubts. I think Michael is stronger than even Lucifer himself. We know, and we've done it in previous studies, Isaiah chapter 14, we know that Lucifer is made more beautiful. We knew that he led the angelic choir in worship to God. We knew that he had a lot of ambition. We knew that, we discovered that his very body is in some ways creates music. His hands have, it says that his hands, there's timbrels or the sound of timbrels in his hands. It says in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14 that Lucifer, that he has in his construction, he has some form of what's either our pipes, it says, or sounds like trumpets or horns in his very existence, that he's extremely beautiful. That there's no angel more beautiful than him. Imagine if Lucifer walked in here right now. Everybody would just pass out of the sheer beauty of this angelic being. Remarkable. But he's no match for Jesus. Jesus is God, and Lucifer has been created. Think of that. It's Michael. So you look at Revelation 12, and it says, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Yes, Satan has fallen angels. One third of them, we don't know how many that is, but one third of them were deceived by him. In the prehistoric past, we know that the Bible records that. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. Listen, if you're not a Christian, you're under the deception of the devil. Think of that. He was cast to earth, and his angels, the demonic powers, were cast out with him. There's a time coming, and Isaiah's talking about a time when the earth is going to be judged. Well, in concert with that time frame, you've got Lucifer, Satan, wreaking havoc in the earth. And we know this from the seven-year tribulation period of time. The second thing we see in verses 4 through 6 is that the great tribulation is for whom? Who's it for? What? Who's the recipe in this mix? And it says, and pay close attention to this, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled. Some of your translations use the word polluted, which is actually a very accurate word, polluted under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws. Number one, whoever the earth dwellers are, they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances. Here's an important one, the third one, third indictment. They broke the everlasting covenant. So what is that? Why would unbelievers care about an everlasting covenant? Listen to this. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Those of you who know your Bible, you're starting to remember something. Wait a minute. During the tribulation period, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a vast amount of people burned by the power of the sun. In fact, Revelation 16 is that passage. Revelation 16, verse 7 says, I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. This is amazing. Stop right there. John sees an angel, a spirit being, who has some form of basin, bowl, that in this invisible spirit realm, John's allowed to see this, as Isaiah is, he sees the angel pour out this bowl, this saucer, and it pours out onto the physical sun. Will the physical world see some sort of a flare or flash? I don't know, it doesn't say. But notice what happens. And this is, to me, amazing because the spiritual realm affects the physical realm. And we see proof of this right here, right now. In Revelation 16, look at verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Instead of repenting, they blasphemed the name of God and his power over the plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. The great tribulation period, who's it for? Well, it's not only to bring Israel to the point of belief in God, but for the unbelieving world, the inhabitants of the world, it's for their judgment. They're going to be judged. There's going to be great judgment. Massive amounts of people, the Bible says, are going to be killed during that tribulation period. And power is going to be given to the sun. Devastation. The time is coming. Here's the good news. When it says here that it's going to be poured out, it's going to happen. It's going to be delivered upon the earth. It's going to be judgment poured out, that tribulation period. I want you to write these verses down. I want you to think about them if this sounds new to you. Number one, here's the good news. You say, Jack, you're scaring me. I don't want to be here for that. By the way, you know, when could this happen? Well, this we know right now at this moment. We know that what we're reading right now in the book of Revelation and in Isaiah, we know that it's technically at least 3.5 years away from tonight. It's probably further away than that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called, When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1. You know, we say it all the time, thanking you for joining us today, but we really do mean it. And our hope is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, August's book of the month is now available. It's called I Never Thought I'd See the Day by pastor and well-known author David Jeremiah. I Never Thought I'd See the Day details the numerous signs that are weakening America's culture as we know it today. There's an increase in spiritual warfare. Socialism is creeping in while marriage, the foundation of the family, is becoming obsolete. Christianity is also being attacked while America turns its back on Israel. Can this downward spiral be reversed? David Jeremiah says yes, but only if one person at a time returns to God with all of their heart, with genuine worship to the Lord, serving by helping others, and in giving and in prayer. Again, August's book of the month is called I Never Thought I'd See the Day by David Jeremiah. And you can buy this book right now at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.